Just let me see you tonight. My good friend, Bill Patterson, is now in the presence of the Lord. Used to say the people down in Florida were sugar babies. That if it rained, they never came out to a meeting. Well, we thank God we have no sugar babies here at Park of the Palms. They're all here, but thank God for your being here tonight. And we just thank God for the fellowship at this particular time. You're singing very well again tonight, and for the group here, I think you're doing exceptionally well. Let us just sing two choruses tonight. Lord, make my heart thy temple, cleansed, pure, and white from all sin, because that is the theme during these particular days, eh? And then we'll sing the other one, which is the Lord who died for me. First of all, Lord, make my heart thy temple. This is one you know, and you can sing so very well now. If you don't know it, just sing along with us anyway, right? All together. O Lord, make my heart thy temple, a Savior and light from a sin. O Lord, make my heart thy temple, a fair that dwells in. But thou who hast given thy own precious God, be praised on thy own. By the way, in the bookstore, there is a book called The Finest of the Wheat. It's a lot of the outline addresses written and compiled by a brother down in Florida, down Miami way, and it's a very fine book. It's usually selling at $1, but they're selling it here at 50 cents. Last year when I was here, 2 years ago, I got some of those books and gave them to budding young preachers. And that proved a real help to them. A lot of outlines that some are very elementary, some are quite very profound, but they'll be a real blessing. You know any young preacher coming along, they'll be a help for you in your Sunday school class or some of your women's meetings. And I'm sure there written some are there. I think there's one or two by Neil Fraser, John Small, Ernie Woodhouse, Iris Van Rye, and a lot of other authors. You'll find a real blessing. Only 50 cents, only one or two copies left, so you get it as soon as you possibly can. The Finest of the Wheat. By the way, that's what we call our records from Canada. Have you heard about Living Voices? The recording that we record up there. I had the privilege of doing the first one for them, Psalm number 84, The Christian's Lasting Joy. And within a very short time, 3,000 of those records had gone out. So, and now they've got a whole library of those records of Carol Armington, Ernest Payson, and A.P. Gibb, a lot of others, and who have been very, very successful in the getting out of those records. And of course, mind you, I think probably your tapes are a little bit easier to carry around than records. But please remember that ministry very much in your prayers, the very ministry of the Living Voice. But we also call it the Finest of the Wheat. Let us have our chorus again, shall we? Lord, make my heart thy temple. All together. Hey, Lord, make my heart thy temple. The my beloved brother, Mr. Spank, you know, he keeps me in tune very well. And the last 2 mornings he's come to me, he's going out the door and he says, Jim, yes, brother, poor ministry this morning. nothing in the offering. She doesn't get my story, but she doesn't. Right, so let us have the Eucharist, and shall we? Did the Lord, all together. He comes with a twinkle in his eye and that lovely little smile, and I appreciate it so much. And by the way, there's another ministry. Seek the preacher has a glass of water. All together, right? Lord! So sorry. Just the Lord. Right, come on, all together. We're together, I did. We're good. All together.
It is the Lord, it is a night for me. It is the Lord, it is a sweet peace. It is the Lord, it is my healing. It is on the cross of Calvary. It is the Lord, it is a gift to bring me life and victory. And I pray His faithfulness through all eternity.
All rise, ministry, once more. The girls sing down as far as Calvary's cross. Everyone is the Lord that rose again. All together, let's rise. Change the position. All together. He is the Lord. Singing. Now, and I know that some of my beloved brethren, I always knew they had a kind of a soft spot for the girls. I noticed them singing along in the first two lines, helping the women up. Romans chapter 6, please. Romans 6, and remember the word tonight is instrument. The Christian is an instrument. Romans 6, and please let us read in. At verse number 11. Those of us here the other night will remember the four things that the Apostle Paul wants us to know. Verses 3 through verse number 5, the meaning of our baptism. Verses 6 through verse number 8, the meaning of our co-crucifixion. And then verse 9 through verse number 10, the meaning of a cold resurrection. And then, that is a fact in the reckoning of God. God reckons by grace each and every believer, one when Christ died, one when Christ was buried, one when Christ rose, one when Christ ascended and took his place at God's right hand. Now, there's where God sees each and every believer, but if I'm going to know the power and the joy of this in my life, our part comes in verse number 11. The verses I refer to, they are a fact. In the reckoning of God is a fact that can never be altered. Then if I'm going to know the joy of this in my life, faith comes in here now. So God reckons by grace, He reckons by grace the old man in the grave. And now we reckon by faith, and faith keeps him in the grave. So it says in verse 11 now, likewise, because of this fact of your union with Christ in death, in burial, and in resurrection, likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice in verse number 11, there's a twofold reckoning here. There is a negative and a positive. Now I want to underscore something still looking at this verse. This is the only key or the bridge that leads us out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. And the captive of Romans 7 becomes a conqueror in Romans 8 by entering in by faith into Romans 6:11. Now notice the narrative. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's a negative sign, but the positive, but alive unto God, notice now, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did Christ rise from the dead? Is he alive? Then we in him are alive unto God. And now he wants to be taken up with a positive sign of this all-important truth. If you get taken up with a negative, you get melancholy. You get melancholy. You get morbid. My friend, get taken up with a positive, and you'll know real joy and real power and real victory in your life. Why am I alive unto God? And Christ is now the life of my life. I love that, don't you? We're looking this morning at the fact of Christ as the life of our life, thinking through our mind, willing through our will, looking with compassion through our eyes upon the multitude, and Christ speaking through our lips, Christ working through our hands, Christ loving through our hearts, and Christ walking in our shoes. Now, my friend, there you have the whole thing now. It's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. And Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, notice, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there now you have that wonderful theme in verse number 11. Though Dean's daughter Sally was in the Bible school at 12 when I was teaching there some summers ago, and we're all in the swimming pool together. I can't swim. I swim as far as you like on my back, but I get struck. I don't know what happens. I can't get my arms and legs to synchronize along with my breathing. So I can't swim somewhere in the front of my bag. I'll swim as far as you like. This particular day, Sally came across and said, Uncle Jim, said, yes, Sally, said, why don't you practice what you preach? And I said, whatever do you mean? Well, you say you're telling us in the class to reckon, just to reckon what God says. Take the Lord at his word. Reckon upon what he says. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Reckon yourself alive unto God. Now, why don't you reckon upon that water? Now, why don't you reckon upon that one? Just trust yourself to that water. Then you won't sink. I didn't know what she meant by that, by the way. You say, so you won't sink. And in that particular swimming pool, A.P. Gibson is going to teach me to swim. And so he said, Jim, I'm just holding you up by my little finger. He said, I got you there, and the water's taking away. My finger's there. You can feel my finger. I said, yes, A.P. And I could feel that finger be taken away. And I swung right round, caught him round the neck, nearly drowned him. Caught him round the neck. I know what the kid's saying. Look at Uncle Jim. Look at the necking in the water. And there said there'd be no necking in the water. Well, there it is. But now the word is reckon yourself. Now, are you willing to do that tonight? Reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Now look at verse number 12. When you're doing this, my friend, the old Adamic nature is still there. And we'll be there at the end of the chapter. I'm not teaching sinless perfection, very far from that. The Bible does not give us authority to teach sinless perfection. My own experience, my friend, tells me clearly there's no such thing as sinless perfection. If I only think, if I for one moment think I'm perfect, I've only got to go home for half an hour. And I find that I'm not. But here's the point now, verse number 12, see where it comes in, eh? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. For the sin principle is still there. It is not eradicated, plucked up like a root and thrown away. Oh no, a believer may sin. A believer need not sin, but if a believer does sin, he is an advocate for the Father. It should be an accident when a believer sins and not the practice. It should not be habitual. The word of God is clear, he that is born of God will not practice sin. Isn't that true? Oh, we could only get such a hatred that heinous thing called sin, the same holy hatred wherewith God himself hates sin. What a joy that would be in our lives. But notice what it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should abase in the lusts thereof. Now here's my verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Notice the expression, yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, for ye have obeyed from the heart that form of mold of doctrine which was delivered you. Now notice that little word yield in verse number 16, and notice the word yield in verse number 17. But yield yourselves unto God. Now isn't this vital? Isn't this very important? Take the word yield in the acrostic form just for one moment. Take it down. Y-I-E-L-D. First of all, yield yourself. Yield yourself. You know the amazing thing about it says going to saints at Macedonia? It says they first gave themselves unto the Lord. Not a lot of us are willing to give our time, willing to give our talent, willing to work and work and work for the Lord Jesus, yet hold back our whole being from him. We're willing to give money to the missionaries, willing to give money for the Lord's work, but willing, my friend, to do and do. But all the time the Lord wants to work through us. That's as I'd rather pray tonight. The Lord indeed may work through us. Not only what he's done for me, that's wonderful, and because of what he's done for me, he gave his all for me, he gave himself for me, in response to that love, I ought to give myself to him. Then because of what he wants to do in me, may I help you here, the Lord has got far more to do in us than he has to do through us. Then you come down to the next point now, what he's done for me, what he wants to do in me, and what he wants to do through me. But it all starts with my yielding myself to him. Then he by his spirit begins to work in, and then he begins to work through. For years I tried to work for the Lord Jesus, rushing here and rushing there, almost working the nails off my fingers in activity in the cause of Jesus Christ and the name of that lovely man. Till one day he said to me very clearly and distinctly, I don't want you to work for me, I only want to work through you. And from that moment, the inner peace, the inner joy, some people say, he just can't understand how you go on, go on, go on as you're going. And they've all the service you take all over here, sometimes 4 and 5 services a day, visiting here and visiting here. They just can't understand it, neither can I. In myself, I could not do it. But thank God we know the secret source, and that source is Christ. That source is Christ living in you. And remember what it says very clearly and distinctly. Paul said, we're going to refer to it in a moment, it's no longer I, but the grace of God that worketh in me. Isn't that just wonderful now? Not my working for him, but his working through us. This is rest. This is peace. This is joy. Yield yourself to him. Then you come down to the next word, it says immediately. Immediately. God by his Holy Spirit has been talking to many of our hearts during these days. Some of you have immediately on hearing the word, you've acted and you've yielded your life to him. Others of you have fought it and you're still fighting it. And my friend, there'll be no joy, no peace. And my friend, the light God's given you, if you don't obey that light will become darkness. And how great will be your darkness. But as you come and you immediately probably hear the light, remember what I read from 1 Chronicles 29 this morning, now I sing with joy thy people who are present here to offer themselves willingly unto thee. In this group tonight, we have a company of believers, and I believe we are willing to offer themselves. Do it immediately. Because if you don't do it and you go home, you think over again, you'll begin to compromise. And they will tell you why you shouldn't do it. What about your career? What about your association? What about this? And then you begin to compromise. Oh, friend, tonight, if God by His Spirit speaks to you in any way, then act immediately and yield yourself and eat entirely. Entirely means the whole man, the whole woman, all your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. Then come to the next letter, L, it's lovingly. Lovingly. Love responding to love. Love being reciprocated. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. The response I from my very heart say, love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, and my all. Then D, the word is decisively. Decisively is a definite decision we arrive at that becomes a habit. It becomes habitual. I say, and probably this morning, is a crisis that leads to a continuance, is a yielding whereby I continue to yield. The wonder of it all. Now there's the word yield. Yield yourselves unto God. Now the first word I want to give you then, and this instrument is this, the instrument must be inspected. You got that? The instrument must be inspected. And as we are instruments now, and our instruments are yielded to Him, we come under inspection. Remember our adorable Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 22, and verse 22, it says concerning Him, He's a man approved unto God. Apelles, a man approved unto God. And oh, my friend, as we come under the inspection of His sacred eye, the tender, loving, all-searching eye of the Holy Spirit tonight, and as we are inspected in the light of His holiness and intrinsic righteousness, I wonder, can it be said of us, a man, a woman, approved of God, an instrument under inspection? I think this is a very remarkable statement, you know. I think also another verse, found in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 10. Remember what it says? He said, to approve things that are excellent. The Lord Himself has said of Him, He's a man approved unto God. Apelles, a man approved unto God. As He looks into His company tonight, I wonder, can the Spirit say concerning you and concerning me, a man, a woman, approved unto God, approving those things that are excellent, able to discern and distinguish things that differ, things that excel, approved unto God. Remember what the Scripture says again, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I miss up the first part of that verse, study to show yourself approved unto God. There's the first point. Not so much approved unto my brethren. You try and please your brethren, you'll never do it. You'll have many a hearty, many a wet pillow. And you try and please your brethren. I tried to do that for so many years. I tried it, my friend, my heart was broken. So one day the Lord said to me, hold thy peace and I will fight for thee, saith the Lord. And from that moment to now, I have also always sought to please one person and live a day at a time. In my own heart, the Lord is maybe my last day down here. My last day, maybe before the end of the day, Lord, you've either taken me home for the hour of death, or you've either called me to the air to meet you, Lord. I've only got one desire, to please one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And I do that a day at a time, a moment at a time. May God help us to recognize this. My family must be approved unto God. Remember dear old David of old. Remember when David got into trouble. Remember what he said? Don't let me fall in the hands of men. Let me fall to the hands of the Lord. In the hands of God. God's got more sympathy, more understanding, more compassion, more love than men have. So tonight, my friend, the word says clearly, a man approved unto God. May God give us that wonderful approval tonight, your heart with my heart. Now go to the next letter, letter N. This instrument has not only been inspected, but now it's passed the approval, the all-searching eye of the Master himself, and now he can place his name upon it, the approval. Now, my friend, his instrument has been named. We are a Christ one. We are a Christian. We are a child of God. But remember, it says in Isaiah 43, verse number 1, I have redeemed thee, I call thee by name, thou art mine. Then remember in John chapter 10, verse number 13, just look at that reference in case I misquote it. John chapter 10, verse number 3. I don't know why I should misquote this one. It may be good for you just to see it. Some of you have been very busy today, rushing here and rushing there, and driving here and driving there. And some of you, well, it's not that to tell a lady she's tired. Another verse says in verse number 3, to him the postman openeth, the sheep hear his voice. And he called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He called his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What does it say? My sheep hear my voice. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So now, my friend, instrument has its name stamped upon it. Thank God for that wonderful name, a name that he has given to us, his own dear children, claimed by the efficacy of his precious blood. Oh, I pray all of us here tonight know the joy of that wonderful efficacy, that wonderful virtue, the blood cleansing us from all sin. Maybe one here, you've never yet trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation, and you certainly are not an instrument unto honor. An instrument, my friend, unto righteousness. This can all be changed tonight. You become a vessel unto honor, an instrument to righteousness by becoming a child of God. Don't be an instrument, my friend, a tool, a dupe of the evil one. You become an instrument in the piercing, all-loving, tender hand of your adorable Lord Jesus. It says in verse 28 of John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know, and they follow me. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that just wonderful? Oh, to be in that hand. Something more I want to think of. Along this line, the instrument is strong. First of all, it is inspected, then it is named. And it plays its own definite name upon us. Oh, aren't you glad tonight you're a Christ one? Aren't you glad tonight you're a Christian, a child of God? And then remember, because of the inspection, and because the name reminds me of character, reminds me of ownership, reminds me of security, all the value of that one who bears the name, my friend, is ours tonight. You're Christ. You're Christ. The wonder is all. Then the next letter is your straw. The instrument must become straw. But the wonder about this instrument is just this. John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. Yet the Apostle Paul could say triumphantly, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And he also says, remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, when I am weak, then am I strong. For his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, some of us are far too strong in ourselves for God to use. It's when we come to ourselves, end of ourselves. I was talking with a dear one today in the colony and brought up the truth regarding salvation. He said, you know, I don't think I'm worthy of Christ having died for me upon the cross. I feel just so insignificant and just so very, very weak. I can't think of him really dying for me. That may be mock humility. When the Apostle Paul says, remember those wonderful words, this is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now the chief of sinners is in heaven, there's room for you, and there's room for me. May God give us grace to recognize this truth tonight. But sometimes we're just so strong in ourselves, we're too strong, the Lord can't use us. It's when we recognize our own weakness, come to recognize our own nothingness. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that there be no more I, but Christ who lives in me. Therein lies the whole secret. Strong. And we must go down to the next letter, and the word is T, that the letter is T, and the word is tempered. This instrument must be tempered. I'm thinking now all the way back in Sheffield, England, with all that wonderful steel is made, all those wonderful knives and cutlery come from, you know. And all the talk about the Sheffield steel. My friend, that steel must be tempered. Sometimes, as they remember, the material is put into the fire, a certain temperature, a certain heat, then that thing's taken, put into the water, then taken back again, put back into the fire, then from there again, back into the water. What they're doing, they're tempering the steel. And I, you know, a pot without any tempering, any spring is not much use, is it? My friend, the very same regarding us spiritually. May I, God, help us recognize two verses that be a help to us in this connection. 1 Peter, please, chapter 1, and verse number 7. 1 Peter 1, verse number 7. I notice my time's not going to allow me to take these down in detail. I'll give them to you, then I must hurry along. Verse number 7, please, or 1 Peter chapter 1. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold which perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom do now you see him not, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now go to another scripture, Psalm 12 and verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purifying seven times. The purifying effect of the fire. Remember the trial of your faith, much more precious than of gold, though tried in the fire. Then it comes here, and I love it with all my heart. It says the word of God, verse number 6, pure words, a silver trod in the furnace of air, purifying seven times. Thank God for the purifying effect of the fire that God allows us to pass through from time to time, on his matchless love and wonderful grace. Go to another scripture now, please. The very next word is ready. Remember, the instrument, first of all, is inspected, it is named, it is strong, it is tempered, and now it is ready. It is ready for use. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, please, and verse number 1. You just see this verse for yourself, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. Titus 3, verse number 1, and the very last phrase of the verse. To be ready to every good work. Now, once we have been inspected, and we are named, and we are made strong, and we have been tempered by the fire and by the water, then we are ready for use. Ready for use. It says right here, to be ready to every good work. Now, isn't that wonderful? Remember what it says also in the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us to those that ask of us. Ready to give a reason. Now remember the verse I referred to, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 15, is saying, "We thy servants are ready to do whatsoever our Lord the King shall command." Now, dear child of God, in the closing moments of our service tonight, those of us who know the joy of being an instrument, having been inspected, having the name placed upon us, and we're strong, we're tempered, then we're ready and for use. Into thy hands, Lord, take me and move me. In the potter, handle the clay. Make me a vessel fit for thy service. Cleanse me and fill me and use me as a day. That's the chorus I love to teach. I left that chorus in Baltimore. I said to get prints made for me and send them on. They haven't come. I know these people. I must touch their memory. Stir it up by pure way of remembrance, eh? Because it's a wonderful chorus I love to teach to you, talk to you here. This chorus, what is it saying? In thy hands, Lord, take me and mold me, even as a potter handles the clay. Make me a vessel fit for thy service. Cleanse me and fill me and use me as a day. It's a wonderful chorus, but ready for the master's use. Go to the Father, shall we? That takes me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 12. Wonderful words. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 12. Is that the verse I'm looking for? Let us see. It is 2 Timothy, isn't it? In chapter 2. And verse number 21. If any man therefore purge himself from these, look at verse 20 for the connection. About in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made use, made meet for the master's use, and notice now, prepared unto every good work, a vessel unto honor, made meet for the master's use. Now we're going to do this. Notice, please, verse number 3 and 22. Flee also youthful lust. And there are four things we got to follow. But follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And we then call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We got, my friend, to flee. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. And we got to continue. Chapter 4, verse 5. And we got to watch. We got to watch. Notice what it says in verse 22. Am I going to be a vessel unto honor, made meet for the master's use? Then I am going to flee those things, and I am going to follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace. Now, aren't these wonderful things? May God give His grace, recognize us more and more. Something more. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15, talking about straight feet. Remember, He says, He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. I love that. And it may be tonight right here, far from the palms. Lord, has some others who are chosen vessels. They're going to be made meet for the master's use. And as you yield yourself to Him as clay in the hand of the potter, a vessel usable, fitted and equipped and qualified, then what is He going to do? says right here, to bear my name. Bear my name, and oh, what a name. What an honor to bear my name right back into that office, right back into that home, right back into that college, right back into that hospital. Yes, to bear my name, and what an honor is ours to bear the wonderful, precious name for our durable Lord Jesus Christ. Look at something else, the same thought now. We are to be not only ready and usable, that my name will go to magnify. And the instrument magnified, my dear brother, leaving last night, this morning whispered to me these words. John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. So remember, he says, a chosen vessel, fitted, equipped, made usable by the master hand himself, will not magnify the vessel at all. There's a name placed upon that vessel. And my friend, we want to make much of that wonderful name. But let's say, remember, in Philippians 1:20, Christ, the Paul said, that Christ must be magnified where? In my body, whether it be by death or by life. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, and the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? Through my mortal flesh. That your life and my life will be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. We're not, my friend, concerned with exalting self. What people think of us, it matters nothing whatever. What people say, it matters nothing whatever. Whether in flattery or in frown. My friend, when we come to recognize that you with Christ, we're dead to the flattery. We're dead to the frown. And my friend, we're concerned with one thing alone, the honor and the value of that wonderful name for the durable Lord Jesus Christ. He warned about everything else. He might be made man much of, and he might be magnified. He might be glorified. There's a secret, my friend, of a vessel, an instrument made use of by the Lord himself. The other letter, because we must hurry, this word now, this instrument must be energized. It is energized. Now, what is the energy that will indeed energize and empower, urge on the instrument fitted and equipped by the master hand himself, the Lord Jesus? Here it is, my friend. 1 Corinthians 1:15-10 says, no longer I, but the grace of God worketh in me. Same verse says, by the grace of God I am what I am. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therein you have the energy. Therein, my friend, you have the power. It is not in ourselves, not in our own ability, not in our training. Oh no, beloved, is in the very glorious fact that we are the temple and the Lord by his Spirit indwells me. He energizes. Therein is the power. May God help us recognize it. Philippians 1:6 says, remember, he has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then the work commences in chapter 1:6. It continues in chapter 2:13. Remember it says, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And in chapter 3:20-21, the work shall be consummated. Consummated. We go on to the next one now. And we might, this, the instrument is necessary. Now I want you to get this, children of God. You are necessary. You are needed. I want you to get that. Oh, you're saying, Jim, I have no ability. I have no scholastic achievement. I've had no formal education. I've had no Bible college training. Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried about it? I am going to teach you a verse of scripture might be a help to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. And as you're looking at that, turning to that scripture, may I quote a little chorus to you. Just where he needs me, my Lord has placed me. Just where he needs me, there would I be. And since he found me, by love he's bound me to serve him joyfully. Notice verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The base things. Verse 27 for the connection, shall we? Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men as the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Queen Victoria says, thank God, did not say not any noble. They are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Here's the verse, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen me, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, notice the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now isn't that lovely? O child of God, you're necessary. If you're in the family, you're a vessel, and you're necessary. He wants you. He wants you to yield your life as clay to the hand of the potter. He'll mold you. He'll fashion you. He'll equip you. He'll train you. He'll educate you. Oh, my friend, he longs to do this. Now, let's catch along this line. John chapter 15, please, and verse number 16. Some dear ones, when they came to me and asked about my ordination, had I been ordained as a minister? And I said, yes, thank God, I've been ordained by the pierced hand of the Lord Jesus, and also another ordination. I'm not concerned about the second one, I'm very much concerned about the first one. That's the only one that concerns me. That fact to be ordained by the pierced hand of the Son of God. Isn't it wonderful now? That dear one, these ones went away rejoiced this morning in the wonderful ordination. They themselves were ordained, ordained by men. I'm not concerned about the empty hands of the bishop being laid upon my empty head and conferring me. That's no use at all. I want my friend to know the joy of the ordination of the pierced hand for the durable Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this ordination? It's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. See what it says here. John 15, verse number 16, the verse I'm thinking of. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. So the word here is appointed you. Ordained you, appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, or that wonderful name, ye may give it you. So there, my friend, notice we are necessary. He's chosen us and ordained us. Verse 3, don't look at it. But John chapter 20, verse 21, put it in your notes, sir. John 20, 21 says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Now, my last one, because I really must close, the word is triumphant. The instrument is triumphant. And we don't triumph in ourselves, but by any achievement of our own, we triumph alone through our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph, leadeth us in a triumphal array. Isn't that lovely? Then that great warrior Paul, coming near the end of the journey, said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, the crown. The crown. The crown of righteousness, which he, the righteous judge, has laid up for me. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, did you get that acrostic on the instrument? A Christian is an instrument. I don't usually go so far in my acrostic as I did tonight, but we're getting very near to the end of our stay. Now, I want to finish Christian. Tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening, the thought will be the ambassador. the Christian as an ambassador. Please don't miss tomorrow morning. Inspected, named, strong, tempered, ready, usable, magnifies, energizes, it is necessary, and hallelujah, it is triumphant. May we prove to be just that type of instrument in the lovely hands of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us sing together, shall we, a lovely little hymn. 298. Now this is a hymn we all know. Want to sing it thoughtfully and prayerfully. Ask your heart again the question, am I his instrument? If not, then why not tonight? If you've never yet been born again by God's Spirit, why don't you here and now open your heart to the Son of God? If you once, my friend, run well, but tonight you're out of the running, and you know you're in a backslidden condition, you're saying, where is the blessings that once I knew when first I sought the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Oh, come back to him tonight. Witness, my friend, the great moment of your discovery as you discover Jesus Christ, not just a Savior, but a sovereign Lord. 298, have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. 298. Softly and prayerfully.
Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mill me and make me after thy will. Oh, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, wounded and weary. Have you been wounded during these days through God's word? Maybe, my friend, you're smarting under the ministry of the word of God. The word, my friend, cut right in like the surgeon's knife. Maybe the surgeon has twisted that knife while the knife has still been in. And you're wounded. And you're sore. Now notice the verse says, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Now you turn away from yourself, turn away from your wounding, and then you look up and say, power, all power surely is thine. Touch me. He alone can do it. No man can do it. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. And then the prayer in the last verse, thoughtfully, verse 4. Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Hold on my being. Excellent sway. Fill as I fear it. Till all shall feel. Christ, fill me always. Living in me.
Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name the honor and glory and power and dominion, both now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord.